Well, how does this sound? The number one seed in the Western Conference, the Los Angeles Lakers, 116-108 over the Utah Jazz. Lakers now 51-15 on the season. We should appreciate the number one seed. We know how tough of a challenge that is in the Western Conference, and I know this is not a typical season. I know to have a 4.5-month layoff and then get basketball back, Lakers now 2-1 in this restart, 5 games left to go for the Lakers, and then we'll get into the postseason. Lakers haven't locked up the number one seed since the 2009-2010 season. We all know what happened that year with Kobe Bryant, with Pau Gasol, Derek Fisher, Lamar Odom, Andrew Bynum. You could go down the list of those Laker players. They ended up winning the NBA championship, and we know obviously how big and how important this run is for the Lakers. That's a great feat. That's a great accomplishment. I like to start off the postgame show with that. And trust me, there's plenty of other things to talk about, but it's been a long journey for this Lakers franchise. And even though it's not the most orthodox way of doing it, it's not what we're accustomed to. This has never happened in sports. It's still the number one seed in the Western Conference. It's still the Los Angeles Lakers in a fantastic position to try and win an NBA championship this year. Even though we got some work to do, none of these games have been beautiful. Tonight's game hasn't either. But I think some of that is actually a good sign. It's a good sign that Lakers aren't playing their best basketball. And it's going to probably, we'll probably have to wait until we get into the postseason where we start deeming the Lakers as playing as good as anyone in the NBA. But with all that said, Lakers lock in the number one seed. And the first thing I want to do in the postgame show, I want to throw out that phone number, 877-710-ESPN. Give us your thoughts. What you thought of this Lakers game, specific performances, and of course, I'll start transitioning to Anthony Davis. Pre-game show, last couple of days, you listened to me on Saturday. Pre-game show with myself and Michael Thompson earlier today as well. What were we talking about with Anthony Davis? You can't have games where AD takes 7 shots. You just can't. Even if Anthony Davis is making the right play. Even if that's the right basketball high IQ play is to find the open Danny Green in the corner or KCP. We get that. We understand that. And I know there's certain teams where that's what they focus on. When you have a guy, the caliber and the skill set of Anthony Davis, it's a different set of rules. Tonight, if you take what Anthony Davis did in the game against Toronto, he took 7 shots. He had 4 times the amount of field goal attempts in tonight's game. He took 28 shots. I don't even really care, to be honest. I don't even really pay attention at how many shots he hit out of that 28. I mean, of course you do. You want them to be efficient shots. You want him to, you know, be around 45% if he can from a field goal perspective. But the reason why I say I don't even care, the Lakers are going to win a lot of games if Anthony Davis is aggressive. And it's not, you know, it's not a luxury for the Lakers. We say luxury and necessity. We always use those two words. It's not a luxury for him to pick and choose when to be aggressive. By the way, he plays the game beautiful. His style is unbelievable. But Lakers are just a better team when he's more aggressive. Lakers have a much better chance of winning a basketball game if he's more aggressive. Tonight he was aggressive right out the gate. I think he started maybe 3 for 8 from the field, and you look at it and you say, you know, AD's not, he's not hitting all his shots right now. I didn't care, and I'm sure a lot of Laker fans didn't care either. If AD's aggressive, that version of Anthony Davis is virtually unstoppable in the NBA. 42 points for Anthony Davis tonight. Let me go through the entire stat line for AD. 42 points, 13 of 28 from the field, 4 of 8 from the 3, 12 of 15 from the free throw line, play 39 minutes, throw in 12 rebounds, 4 assists, 3 steals, and a block shot, and that's Anthony Davis. There's really no other way to describe Anthony Davis, and that was AD tonight. That's the one thing I think I asked for and a lot of Laker fans out there asked for, and we played AD a little bit earlier. He was on the floor with Rachel Nichols, and we'll get a chance to hear from him a little bit later in the postgame show as well. But one of the things I love what Anthony Davis says is, that's what coach wanted me to do tonight. Coach wanted me to come out. Coach wanted me to be aggressive. Coach wanted me not to waste any time and kind of put my footprint in the game. By the end of the first quarter, you already knew AD is going to have a big game, and that's exactly what he did for the Lakers. When I say a necessity, I just want to repeat one thing. What I mean by that is if Lakers are going to win an NBA championship, it's going to take monster performances from Anthony Davis. It's going to take virtually almost triple doubles from LeBron James, and it's going to take a number of bench players to step up, a number of shooters to hit their outside shot, and a bunch of role players to not just play their role, but to absolutely thrive in their role. So that's all obviously going to be important. So that's Anthony Davis in a nutshell right there. LeBron, 35 minutes, really in that fourth quarter is when LeBron started churning things up a little bit. 22 points, 2 steals, 9 assists, 8 rebounds. So another nice performance from LeBron James. I did mention in the pregame show, you know, LeBron's got the ball in his hands virtually every possession. So he had another 4 turnovers today. Add that to the 9 turnovers that he had in the first 2 games. So I'm sure LeBron would like to reduce some of those turnovers. But this team doesn't look all that smooth right now to begin with. And I think that's actually a compliment to this team, because when they do start clicking, maybe that's 5 games from now. Maybe that's 10 games from now. And we're in the middle of the postseason. I think we'll start getting a little bit closer to what we're accustomed to, what the Lakers were doing in the regular season. A couple other guys that I want to just shout out real quick. I was critical these last couple days on Danny Green and KCP that if they're going to take, you know, some of these wide open shots, if they're going to take shots away from Anthony Davis because AD isn't being aggressive enough, they got to hit their shots. I mean, it's so important that these Lakers, these shooters, start performing. And let me, you know, point out right off the bat from a stats perspective, Lakers 9 of 26 from the three-point line, 35%, somewhere around there. That's actually a lot better than they did in the last game against Toronto. They were 10 for 40. But I think what I liked in this game, and this goes back to the Danny Green KCP part of things, what I liked in this game, not that many forced threes. 26 threes seems reasonable. 40 threes seemed like Lakers were trying to shoot out of a slump, and they obviously never did in that Toronto game. But Danny Green, 4 of 7. KCP, 4 of 7. Green had 8 points tonight. KCP had 10 points. That's fantastic if you can get that on a consistent basis. One of the issues for the Lakers, we just haven't got that on a consistent basis. So we'll see if that's going to be something that changes. Dwight Howard off the bench, 11 points and 5 rebounds. Kuzma had 9 points, 5 fouls, running all over the place, but again, under control, 25 minutes, 3 of 6 from the field. Didn't take 15 shots tonight or anything like that. And then the last player that I just want to point out from an individual perspective, I thought Deion Waiters had a really, really good third quarter for the Lakers. He was all over the place, did a lot of small things, had a couple steals, and found ways to be effective for the Lakers. Caruso as well, I'll throw him in the mix here. 5 assists for the Lakers. He was a plus 8. Deion Waiters was a plus 11. Kuzma was a plus 12. So it's nice to see some of those other players chipping in. All right, you've heard me talk about attorney Brad Wallace and the Wallace Firm helping businesses affected by the COVID-19 government shutdowns. The Wallace Firm also represents homeowners impacted by the Woolsey fire, victims of car crashes, and families of people who have been wrongfully killed. If you have suffered a serious loss, the Wallace Firm are the serious lawyers to get you the W. No win, no fee. 844-844-WINS or visit wallacewins.com. When we come back, we'll take some of your guys' phone calls. 877-710-ESPN. We'll also hear from head coach Frank Vogel. Stay right here. This is a Los Angeles Lakers postgame show on 710-ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, Lakers over the Utah Jazz. By the way, 116-108, the final score. You know, we look at some of these different performances for the Lakers, individual performances, and it's so easy to look at that box score, but some of the smaller names, some of these guys that, you know, have been struggling a little bit, I like pointing them out. So I like mentioning Danny Green and KCP. I think it's important to do that. Let's take a couple quick phone calls here. Matt, who's listening on the app, we appreciate you tuning in, bud. You're on the Lakers postgame show. Go ahead.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Of course.
You know, right now, I think that Anthony Davis obviously is a, you know, a huge part of us winning a championship, but he can't be the only one. I mean, 40-point games, that's great, but we've got to get more out of LeBron. You know, I expect him to be a little more aggressive when the playoff time comes, but, you know, we win and we lose through him. Everything is going to depend on his shoulders. You know, we've got to have other guys step up like Kuzma and Deion Waiters, but without Avery Bradley on the floor, who was a huge piece of our defense, I think that we need to get Deion Waiters some more time. I think that he adds a different element to our offense, and he can be
a
good defensive player too. Exactly.
Well, he's a threat, definitely. Definitely on offense, he's a threat. Matt, appreciate you calling in the show. I wouldn't worry too much about LeBron. Honestly, that's not a player to worry about. I think in this case, in this instance, you know, almost a triple-double, 22-9-8. Is he that aggressive right now? No, he's not. Maybe he's kind of cruising a little bit, specifically because of the position that the Lakers are in. But my concern would be more the role players. And Avery Bradley is a loss. I mean, there's no way of trying to sugarcoat that. That's definitely a loss for the Los Angeles Lakers. I want to play our smooth finish brought to you by Corona. The best way to celebrate sports is with a cool, refreshing Corona in hand. So grab a Corona today and enjoy your game day beach. Doesn't get any smoother than AD from the 3-point line.
Here's Anthony Davis dribbling inside half court. Davis step back 3-pointer, foul in a bucket. And Anthony Davis is going to have a chance at 40 points. He hurt his hand on that play, but he's going to the free throw line, Michael, and if he makes this free throw, AD has a 40-point game tonight.
All right, as smooth as you can get. That was Anthony Davis all night. Let's take another quick call. Joe in the Inland Empire, appreciate you calling in. You're on the Lakers postgame show. Go ahead, Joe.
What's up, Alan? How you doing, man?
Good, man. Good. Thank you.
Man, I just want to say, I can't even lie, like, for the first half, all the way into the mid-third, that was the most irritating game I've watched. I was just getting so irritated because I just wanted the Lakers to pull away, but the Jazz, they were in it. But AD, he was huge. And I wanted just, besides AD, I wanted to shout out Kuzma and Waiters. Because Kuzma and Waiters, even when I looked at the box score, I had a feeling every time when they got in the game, we were actually making positive moves. And they were both a plus 11 and a plus 12 for the day. So I was like, when I saw Kuzma take Mike Conley all the way back to the half court, mm-hmm. and he had guarded him like that, I was like, and it looked like he was like real hyped about it. I was like, man, this bubble is doing him good. He's getting away from the fashion. He's getting away from everything. He's locked in right now.
I think you got something there. I really do. I think, Joe, appreciate you calling into the show. There is something about Kuzma so far where, okay, it's not like he's putting up 25 points. He doesn't need to. It would be nice, but that's not – is he effective when he's on the floor? Where I really like watching Kuzma right now is more the defensive side. He's engaged. He's excited when he forces somebody on a travel or he blocks a shot. That's what you want to see from a player like Kuzma. Just be exactly what the Lakers need. Find ways to be effective. All right, let's hear from Lakers head coach Frank Vogel. Lakers over the Utah Jazz, 116-108.
Hey, Frank. Mike Trudell from the studios back in L.A. Just securing the number one seed, I know you talked about that not necessarily being the main goal. You want to develop rhythm and stay healthy. But what does that say about your season coaching, and does that check something off your list?
Well, we're building the right habits. You know, if you're winning enough games to secure the number one seed, then you know, you're building the right habits that are going to be necessary for you to win in the playoffs. And you know, obviously, we have bigger aspirations than the number one seed. But we are proud of the accomplishment, and you know, we'll enjoy it while we're getting ready to get our group ready for the playoffs.
LeBron and AD both looked pretty sharp tonight, obviously, especially AD. And he said that you guys have asked him to be more aggressive like that, regardless of how the defense is playing. How do you think he responded, and how important is that as you guys push forward?
I didn't hear the first part of that question, Mike.
Oh, sorry, Coach, just talking about AD and his aggression in this one. And early, he said you guys had spoken to him as a coaching staff about that.
Yeah, last game, you know, he was being unselfish, and you know, we always want that from all of our guys. But there's a time, you know, where you gotta assert yourself, and he did it in the second half against Toronto, and you know, for 48 minutes tonight, he was in attack mode, both in the catch and shoot game. You know, he passed up one early, an early catch and shoot, and you know, we kind of got on him at the timeout that we want to be aggressive in the catch and shoot game, especially when Rudy's on him. Make the close out, and he responded in a big time way. Had a great night.
Hey Frank, it's Bill Warham. I'm wondering, at the start of the third quarter when the Jazz came out with that run, you called that a pretty early timeout, and you guys bounced back kind of in a big way in that quarter. I'm just curious, what was your message and what changed in that period?
I think the message was more about my tone. You know, I was unhappy with how we played to come out. In the third quarter, the last two games, we gave up big runs to begin the third, and it started looking like that again tonight, and we weren't having the necessary focus, attention to detail, and competitive spirit, and I let our guys know about it, and you know, they responded, and everything got elevated in that third, and we ended up having a great defensive third quarter and a stretch that probably was the biggest reason why we got the win.
Hey, Frank, it's Dave. Anthony said something along the lines of when he plays aggressive, he kind of sets the tone and others follow suit. At what point did that become part of his role with this team? Was that something you guys instilled from training camp all the way back in October? Or did at some point that kind of shift maybe from LeBron to him?
No, I think it's both of those guys are aggressive. You know, I mean, we want our whole group to play team-first basketball and to think – about setting each other up and playing with the pass. But those two guys, you know, when they're most assertive, that's when we've been at our best. So, you know, we definitely always want that.
Hi, Nate. For Anthony, just him personally, is it, well, not personally, but for him specifically, is it important for him to do that early, like to set the tone for himself of aggressiveness early in the game?
Yeah, I mean, I said, you know, we want both of those guys to be aggressive. Anthony can be aggressive in a lot of different ways. You know, it's running the floor, being active on the glass, it's being aggressive driving the basketball. But in particular, you know, at the three-point line, you know, he's a big that often draws a bigger assignment because of his post threat. And, you know, they're going to put a bigger guy on him. He has the ability to just beat them in a different way. So, you know, right from the start, yes, it's important for him to be aggressive.
So to kind of follow up on that, I think AD had 7 shots in the first 5 minutes and then 14 really in the first quarter. Was that sort of a scripted effort by the coaching staff to get him more shots, or was that sort of his teammates like, hey, let's attack this matchup?
It was both. You know, I know he didn't really get going last game, and, you know, I look in the mirror when that type of thing happens with one of my two best players. And, you know, so we had an intention to get him going a little bit early, but he also, you know, we just caught a couple plays for him. But, you know, it really came from him and his assertiveness.
As another follow-up, you're often touting your guys as award guys this year, especially in these head-to-head matchups with Rudy Gobert. How do you think Anthony asserts himself?
We dominated the game. You know, I said over and over again, you know, Anthony is the most talented defender in the NBA. He proves it night in and night out. He's a big reason why we've had so much success this year, because of what he does on that end of the floor. And I thought he showed that tonight.
Bill, go ahead.
All right. Bill?
Frank, I don't expect you to tell me who it is, but I'm wondering if in your heart, behind that mask, you have a team that you would prefer to see in the 8th seed when the seeding games are all over.
Yeah, you know, I won't go there. I will say that, you know, all these teams that are competing for that 8th spot, I don't believe we're going to get a typical 8th seed in that matchup. You know, the West is loaded. There's a lot of good teams in there. And, you know, we're going to get a team with some serious firepower.
All right, that's Lakers head coach Frank Vogel right there. Always great to hear just some of his some of the things he said about time to assert yourself. He's talking about, obviously, Anthony Davis right there. LeBron did the same thing. I mean, when I say assert himself, what I'm referring to is more of the second half. We'll hear from LeBron James specifically in that fourth quarter. We'll hear from LeBron when we come back. Stay right here. This is a Los Angeles Lakers postgame show on 710 ESPN. All right, Points in the Paint all season long is sponsored by Vista Paint, locally owned, manufactured, and operated. And with over 1,300 Vista Paint colors, your perfect paint expression is at Vista Paint right now. And don't forget, visit VistaPaint.com for your discount color sampler. Lakers 58-44. On the Utah Jazz. So a 14-point advantage, points in the paint-wise, an 8-point advantage in the game, 116-108. Okay, we got a great giveaway that we're gonna do right now. So 710 ESPN is celebrating Mamba Mondays in the month of August. Call right now, 877-710 ESPN. Caller number 7 will win a Hoopery hoodie. All right, trust me on this. 877-710 ESPN. These are great hoodies. Follow us at ESPN Los Angeles on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter for more chances to win. I spent a lot of time talking about Anthony Davis. Let me now talk about the other star for the Los Angeles Lakers, LeBron James. So LBJ, 22 points tonight, 9 assists, 8 rebounds, also had 2 steals and a block. Only took 16 shots, 9 of 16 from the field. Definitely felt like LeBron James was trying to get Anthony Davis going early, fourth quarter. I thought LeBron James was starting to turn it up. Here's LBJ.
Hey, LeBron, before we get to the basketball, I saw the shirt you wore to the game and body cam footage from George Floyd's arrest went public today. First of all, if you've seen it, what reaction or emotions did it stir in you? And if you haven't seen it, what message were you hoping to send by wearing "The World is Watching" on your shirt?
I have not seen the video yet, Dave. I intend to watch it. But at the end of the day, you know, I was thinking about the other day when we were when we played the Raptors and we kneeled for 2 national anthems. And I think it was a little bit over 4 minutes. And we actually as a unit, as a team, had to switch our knees over from one knee to the other knee because they started to get sore, started to like kind of start hurting a little bit, you know, and that's just a little over 4 minutes. And you think about 8 minutes and 46 seconds, you know, of an officer having his knee in someone's throat for that long. Video or no video, it doesn't matter. No one deserved to lose their life when it could have been prevented from what I've seen and from what the world has seen. So, you know, that's what the T-shirt is all about, is the world is watching. You know, everyone knows the time. Everyone knows what's going on. You saw all the, you know, great protests that went on, you know, throughout the whole world, you know, supporting us here in America, but more importantly, supporting George Floyd and his family. You know, so you know that's what it was about.
LeBron, transitioning to tonight, what did Anthony do differently tonight, and what did you feel like he brought mindset-wise after the game against the Raptors, where he was being double teamed? Did you feel like he came with a different sort of mission tonight?
Yeah, it was very aggressive from the beginning. Even though he was missing some of his looks early on, he was looking for a shot to start the game. You know, just getting to a rhythm. And he was just, like I said, he was being aggressive throughout the whole game. And, you know, when you're a great player, you learn from one game, you adjust, and then you turn into something different the next game. He absolutely did that tonight.
Okay, Tanya,
can
you do it? I wasn't originally going to ask this, but I'm wondering, you know, we talked about protests that have been happening everywhere. With your level of fame, it's hard for you to be in public like that. But is there any part of you that wished that you could have been marching?
Yeah, I had my moments. I definitely had my moments, you know, when I felt like, you know, just you know, me being visible, you know, out there, you know, protesting, you know, things of that nature. You know, and then on the other side also, you know, how I work as well, you know, that I can be just as effective, you know, by the way I work, using my platform, using my voice, you know, doing the things that I've been doing, you know, behind closed doors, you know, to be very effective as well. So there was part of me that was like, I wish I was out there as well, in the front line for sure. But I'm, you know how efficient I can also be, you know, behind closed doors and a lot of things going on, a lot of people don't know, you know, that I'm able to change.
You know, you described this as like one big summer camp, and obviously there's a lot of people here who love basketball, but these other competitions going on, and so many, a lot of players here being so intimately involved in them, how does that kind of change the social dynamics that you guys are talking about, the issues going on in the world?
There were so many conversations before we got here that, you know, this right here, the bubble, us playing basketball would take away from the main thing. I think it's been the absolute opposite of that. It's given us the opportunity to every single day speak about, feel passionate about whatever's going on in our personal lives, whatever is going on in society, us trying to make a change, being dynamic, being heard, and using this platform, which is the NBA, is the most popular game in the world. And we've had that support. We've had that support from the league, from the union, and every player, either if he spoke out or not, has felt like they felt empowered. So if they feel like they want to say something or they feel like they want to hit on the topic, they don't have to feel pressure. And they don't have to feel like they won't be heard, like they won't be supported. And you know, that's been very, it's been a great thing to see that we've been able to, as a league and as every individual, been able to voice another truth.
Take a few more questions. Will, you have a couple over there?
Yes.
Hey, LeBron. Dan Wojcicki with the LA Times. You guys have played six games, if you count the seeding games now. You talked about all the things that are happening in the world. You haven't seen your family. Is it harder to focus on basketball in the bubble, even though that's all there is kind of to do while you're there? Or is it easier because of those things?
Once you get on the floor, the game is the game. It's an opportunity to be able to lock in on the situation at hand, the task at hand, and you keep the main thing the main thing. You know, obviously being away from your family is an unbelievable sacrifice that we're all making, and it's very difficult. I mean, we go on the road and we do, you know, we have road games, and sometimes you go on the West Coast, East Coast road trip, you have 11-day road trips, 5-6 games. And sometimes even when you play in the Olympics, you could be away from your family from a little bit because you're traveling from country to country, but nothing has ever compared to this. So it's a huge sacrifice that we're all making. I miss the hell out of my family, my wife, my kids, my mother, and so on and so on. So, you know, it's a huge challenge. It's a huge challenge to be able to stay locked in because at the end of the day, when you get on the floor, you have a job to do. And me personally, I have a job to do to continue to make this team go in the right direction. So I'm able to lock in on that, you know, and then at the same time, you know, keep my family, you know, keep my loved ones in my heart and my mind as well.
Last question, Mark Medina.
Ron, given the protests that happened the last 2 months, you know, to speak out on systemic racism, the good work that you've made, what's your overall level of what changes can happen
within the next year?
Yeah.
Well, we continue to do what we've been doing here. Every day is its own challenge, as we've seen in 2020. Every day is the unknown. So you try to make the most out of you can make out of that one particular day. So I try to be as great as I could be today, both on and off the floor. And then we go into tomorrow with the same mindset. But we all know that it's a big opportunity coming up in November with the election. And we all have an opportunity. If we say we want change, we have to make change. You know, so I think leadership, it's a dynamic thing, and it's key to anything in this world. No matter if you're talking about sports, or politics, or household, or running the family, you have to have a leader that you feel confident. So I think November is very huge. That's why I started more than a vote, and getting people out there to understand that their vote does count. Their word is being heard, and you know, hopefully we can get into our community, especially the Black communities, because they felt like that, you know, for so many years, voter suppression, you know, just feel like oppression, just like they don't believe that their votes count. They don't believe that they can go and affect change, you know, and that's That's something that I grew up feeling the same way. I never believed that in a small community, in a Black community, that people really listen to you, or that you can actually go cast the ballot and your votes actually count. So I'm just trying to educate, not only people in my community, but, with the likes of so many other athletes and faces, things of that nature, we're trying to educate people all over the world here in America as well. So, like I said, every day is its own challenge, and that's what 2020 has been like. But in the immediate future, November is huge. I think we all can say that.
All right, that's LeBron James right there talking about things much bigger and much more important than just basketball. But from a basketball perspective, LeBron made it happen tonight. Lakers made it happen tonight. 116-108, the final score. We'll have some final thoughts coming up next. Alex Caruso, who played a key part in the Lakers win tonight, and it's one of those games for Caruso. If you look at the box score, you're going to say, well, what did Caruso do? Caruso does all these intangibles. Plus, we'll take a look at the Lakers' next game against the Oklahoma City Thunder. All that coming up next. Stay right here. This is the Lakers postgame show on 710 ESPN. 116-108, the final score over the Utah Jazz. There's no need to waste time at the car wash anymore. Mobile Wash brings the car wash to you in minutes with everything necessary to bring your car to a full shine. It's the only app that offers on-demand car washing services wherever you are in SoCal. Download Mobile Wash now and you use promo ESPNLA to save. So I appreciate you guys being a part of the post-game show. This is something that I know we don't do it maybe every single game, even though I try to emphasize it as much as possible. Anthony Davis, LeBron James, yes, we understand. Two best players, top five in the world. We make that case on a game-in, game-out basis. But it's so key for the role players to step up for the Lakers. It's actually going to be everything. I mean, if the Lakers have true success this season, what I mean by that is a legitimate championship run, these role players are going to have to be everything. I thought Dion Waiters gave the Lakers some good minutes. He had some spurts there. I thought Alex Caruso gave the Lakers some good minutes. And Caruso had 5 assists. So we don't always get a chance to hear from Caruso. Let's take a listen to Alex Caruso. He was on the presser, obviously talking to all the reporters here on the Lakers 116-108 win over the Utah Jazz.
Hey, Alex, obviously it's been a long, winding, unpredictable season. What does it mean to you guys to clinch the top record in the Western Conference?
It feels good. Obviously there's a lot of work to be done. I guess we can spend a couple hours tonight celebrating, just prove how hard we've worked and how we've shown up for so many games night in, night out, and take care of business.
Anthony Davis had a quiet game the other night, made only 2 buckets. Tonight he responds at 42 points. What would you like about his effort out there?
Yeah, I think he was a little more himself tonight. He was a little aggressive to start the game. They really don't have a great matchup for him, in my opinion, so they try to put Rudy on him, give a little length. If you put someone small on him, he can post you up. You put something big on him, you bring him out, and he did that late in the game, brought Rudy out to the perimeter and made some tough shots. So, he's Anthony Davis, he does what he does.
You guys had not shot the ball very well the first 2 games, but tonight I think you shot 50%. Change, and what's different about shooting in that arena there versus being at Staples or anywhere else in the NBA?
Well, I don't know if you've seen the games, but there's no fans in arenas for the restart games. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know, man. We attacked the paint tonight. I think we had something like 30 first half paint touches. Coach said at halftime, which is really good. That's how we want to play offense. Paint created shots, paint either finishes or lobs for the bigs or kickouts for threes. That's how we want to play. And so I think we just did a good job. And Brian kind of started it off, just getting to the paint.
Alex from Puerto Rico. I want to know, take us a little bit more, like, how do you go mentally? You had 3 points today, but offensively, not a good night. But defensively, you had a very good night. And how do you prepare yourself to do those little things that are taken under granted?
Well, I don't really measure my offensive efficiency or contributions solely based on points. I didn't make maybe 1 open shot. There's another transition one I probably didn't have, but I know those things. I mean, we got guys on our team. AD went for 40. Bron went for 20 or something like that. Kuz had a couple shots. I don't need to come down and hunt my shot. I need to just kind of flow with the offense. And in doing that, It helps my defense. You know, I'm a guy who shows up every day, and I know what I can do well no matter how the ball is dropping on offense. So I kind of just show up and get ready to do what I got to do. And it's a little harder with no fans. You know, the atmosphere is different. But I just kind of get somewhere, close my eyes, and kind of lock in and do what I got to do.
KCP mentioned that it was hard playing without fans and also getting used to this new court. What on a balance, how do you measure that? How do you put that? What's difficult, playing without a fans or playing in a new court?
Yeah, I'd say probably the fanless arena, you know, just because we're so used to having the atmosphere there. And even if it's on the road, you know, it for me specifically, it helps me lock in. You know, when there's a crowd and there's noise and there's a bunch of stuff going on, it almost is easier for me to focus and have that adrenaline to lock into what I need to do. And without that, you got to kind of find it intrinsically, and instead of finding that outside source of energy and motivation. So I think that's been the big thing. Just I mean, that's probably why we've been a little low energy for the first couple of games at some stretches, is just because we're getting used to not having that atmosphere. And I think tonight we picked it up and started playing off our own energy and our own juice.
All right, that's Alex Caruso right there. So you just kind of look at these first three games for the Lakers, five more left to go. And I do want to talk about what the Lakers got coming up here in just a second. But you beat the Clippers by two. That's going to be a completely different Clippers team as we get to the postseason. And if it's the Lakers and the Clippers in the Western Conference Finals, I'm sure it's going to be different for both teams. I'm talking about both of them are going to get better. Clippers, obviously, no Montrezl Harrell, no Lou Williams in that first matchup. You lose to the Toronto Raptors. You come back tonight, you beat the Utah Jazz. You're expected to beat the Utah Jazz. Anthony Davis, much more aggressive. And then you got the Oklahoma City Thunder coming up this Wednesday. It's actually an early tip-off, so just FYI for everybody out there. 2 p.m. pregame show, myself and Michael Thompson. 3:30 tip-off. I think this will be the earliest start that we have, you know, in this restart for the schedule. And the reason why I point that out is I'm curious to kind of see the approach that the Lakers have for these last five games. Coach has said this entire time that he's going to treat these next five games, or he's going to treat whether they got the number one seed locked up or they didn't, and they obviously do now, he's going to treat them like all these other games, that they're still going to be important. They're still going to, you know, have their players play big minutes. And a lot of that just literally has to do with the fact Lakers are trying to just get their legs back, get their rhythm back, get that chemistry back before the postseason starts. And for a lot of these other teams, I'll use the Thunder as an example, and I could use the Jazz. Jazz are 42-25. Thunder are 41-25. Houston's 42-24. You have four teams within three games of each other in the Western Conference. Now, I don't know what that means. I don't know what team wants to play the Lakers, what team wants to play the Clippers in the second round, you know, what certain matchups are going to be. But the Thunder are obviously have something to play for. The Jazz had something to play for tonight. A lot of these teams do. We're looking at that race for the eighth spot. Memphis has been struggling. They've lost a couple games in a row inside this bubble. Portland lost a game against Boston yesterday. Spurs, who were putting themselves in an unbelievable position, just hurt their chances by losing at a buzzer beater against the Philadelphia 76ers. So we definitely have an interesting couple of weeks left. And for the Lakers, it's just about figuring it out for them and approaching these last five games. All right, our next broadcast I mentioned, Lakers taking on the Oklahoma City Thunder this Wednesday. Start tuning in tomorrow morning at 6 a.m., the morning show. They'll have all their information there for you. We appreciate you guys tuning in. This is a Los Angeles Lakers postgame show on 710 ESPN.